tonight. Well, I would ask that while I'm here in Pennsylvania that you'll pray for my family back in Chicago. Chicago is a very unsafe place to be these days. And the Lord has given us lots of safety over the past 15 years that we've ministered in Chicago. He's been very good to us. But I have a wife and four daughters back home holding things down, both at church and our Christian school. And of course, I'm not on this trip alone. Jamari Murray traveled with me. He's one of the young men in our church. His mom and dad and siblings are members of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago. And about 10 years ago, they got a flyer in their door and kind of thought about that for a while and set it to the side. And then they ended up getting another flyer from the church in their door. And they said, well, we need to go and check this Cornerstone out. And they came on a Sunday morning and they were late. You probably don't remember this. It's been a long time. They were late. We were actually dismissing the service, and they were kind of embarrassed that they were late. And, you know, a lot of people wouldn't come back after that, but they did. They came back. Jamari, mom, dad, siblings, and God started working, and their dad got saved, and he's a faithful member of our church. Mom was already saved, and all of his siblings are in our Christian school. And I thought about the opportunity to come here, and I thought it would be good for him to get out of Chicago for a little bit. We love the city. We love the open door that the Lord's given to us to serve there. Amen. I wouldn't be anywhere else. But it's good for him, a little exposure to come out. You know, everything in the city is what man built. You understand what I mean? It's all man-made, concrete, metal, all the things that man made. And then you come out here and you see what God made. And it's just a little bit different and very good for him. And he's having a wonderful, wonderful time. I could tell he was a little apprehensive about this. What am I getting myself into? But he got out here with Alan and having a good time running around. I just said, just let me bring him back alive. You guys do what you want to do, but I have to bring him back alive. I do not want to answer to his parents for him not coming back with me. So glad to have Jamari here with us. Take your Bible, go with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'd like to preach a message this morning entitled The Prayer of Jabez. The Prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4, I'll let you all get there, and then we will pray, and I'll direct you to the text. First Chronicles chapter 4. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for how you've blessed it. It's very evident that this has been a house of prayer, and that you've honored the praying saints that are here, and that you've honored yourself through the saving of sinners. And so, Lord, we come yet again today looking and needing and expecting and hungry for your blessing. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd help us as we preach, be with me, guide my lips and my thoughts. Pastor Starnes, as he follows, I just ask that you'd work in all of our hearts. We need you, Lord, and we're looking to you to make these meetings effectual. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 9. 1 Chronicles 4, 9. Scripture. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. In context, the Bible is laying out here for us the dynastic line of King David, and in order to do that, we're dealing here with a chapter that records the family of Judah. And it records the prayer of an unusual man by the name of Jabez. The Bible doesn't say much about him at all, other than what we read right here. There's a little bit of mentioning of maybe a city that was named after him, or maybe that his mother named him after, but nothing else in the Bible about him. He's got two verses. That's it, two verses. Yet so much is revealed about this man's character concerning prayer. First, in verse number 9, before we even get to prayer, we understand that this man Jabez, before we get to his prayer, is a man of honor. A man of honor. It says in verse number 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. You and I ought to be people of honor.
Amen.
Those of us that name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to the Lord, and one of the things he teaches you is to be an honorable person. It's one thing for an unsaved person to be honorable in their dealings. And there are some people like that. They're not saved, but they try to keep their word. And I'm not going down the road of politics, but I voted for our previous president two times. Not because he was a moral man, not because he was a saved man, but it was interesting that you have an unsaved man that could, for the most part, in his four-year term, keep his word, and we have born-again Christians who do not.
Come on, preacher.
And so, man, you may not be able to do it as good as someone else, but you ought to be able to stand behind your word.
Amen.
Pay your bills.
Amen.
Be punctual. Do what's right.
Amen.
And be an honorable individual. That was Jabez. Second, he was a man of sorrow. The name Jabez means sorrow. We don't know how that's connected to him. Maybe there was some sorrow in bringing him into the world. As far as his mother was concerned, maybe the father died previously or something like that. Some tragedy we're not told about. I don't know, but his name means sorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some sorrow in this room right now.
Yeah.
We've lost loved ones.
Yeah.
We're praying for loved ones that are not saved, and to see your burden for your unsaved loved ones is such a blessing. I do believe that God will honor these prayers.
Amen.
But there's sorrow, man. You've got somebody you love that's on their way to hell. That produces sorrow for their soul.
Yeah.
Jabez was a man of sorrow. But third and more importantly, Jabez was a man of prayer.
Yeah.
He was a man of prayer. We've got two verses, and all we learn about this man, that he was honorable, that there was some sorrow associated with him, but he was a man of prayer.
Amen.
Are you a person of prayer? Prayer. What a gift we have called prayer. Last night we looked at praying, just praying. And I didn't plan to do this. The Lord just kind of led. We're going to look today at Jabez. How do you pray?
Yeah.
We know we're supposed to pray. How do we pray? Jabez shows us this. Number one, Jabez prayed for the blessing of God on his life.
Yeah.
Verse number 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." He understood that he needed the blessing of God on his life. He did not want to go through this venture called life without the blessing of God on him. And he uses that word, "Oh." Do you see the pathos there? Oh, what does that tell me about Jabez? He valued the blessing of God.
Amen.
He put a big premium
on
the blessing of God. Outside of your salvation, can you tell me something more important than you having the blessing of God on your life? Keep your place here. We're going to refer back to it as our text, but go with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. As you think about your life and you think about everything that's going on, career-wise, family-wise, all of the different things, where is that premium on the blessing of God on my life?
Amen.
Jabez said, I've got to have it. Oh, yeah. That thou wouldest bless me indeed. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 22. Proverbs 10, verse number 22. The scripture says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. You know, some things can be a gain and really be a curse. You know, you can get a windfall and it be the end of you. But here the Bible is saying that when God blesses, there's no curse associated with it. And Jabez said, I've got to have that. I've got to have that. Some things about this prayer. He prayed with earnestness, according to verse number 10 in our text. Oh, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. We looked at that last night. Availeth much. We learn about this earnestness with Jacob wrestling with God.
Amen.
All night till the breaking of the day. What was that? Earnestness in prayer.
Amen.
Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane being pressed for us in that garden before his agony on the cross. The agony started in the garden. What was he there for? He was there to pray.
That's right.
And he prayed with great earnestness. Oh, do we pray like that? Oh, is there that earnestness in our prayer? Secondly, he prayed with desire. According to verse number 10, bless me indeed. Pastor Almanza, I like that word.
Yes.
Bless me indeed.
Yeah, it's good.
In other words, he said, I don't just want to be blessed. There's a lot of people out there that are blessed. To a certain extent, everyone is blessed. We breathe his air. We drink his water, we eat his food, but a lot of people with that blessing, there's no satisfaction. They are dissatisfied with the blessing of God, but Jabez said, no, I don't want to just be blessed. I want to be satisfied in your blessing. Bless me indeed. We ask too little of a mighty God. A couple years ago, the Lord started burdening me that we could do more in Chicago if we didn't have a mortgage. And I started looking at the thing and figuring it out, man, it was gonna take us at least another 15, 20 years to pay off our mortgage. Long story short, God gave us the ability to purchase a foreclosed church building, 15,000 square foot, for $350,000. Okay, but we're still making the mortgage payment. And we've put more money into the building to fix it up than we actually paid for it, but we're still making the mortgage payment. And I'm thinking, we could plant a church. Oh, we could take on more missionaries. We could do some things if that mortgage were just gone. But how's it gonna just be gone? And the Lord said, why don't you pray about it? And so I went to the men of our church and I said, men, I believe the Lord has led me to pray. This is about a couple years ago. That our mortgage would be paid off to zero. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And I felt like I was crazy. True story. True story. But I started praying. I wish I could say with a lot of faith. But praying, Lord, just take care of it. On my prayer list, just take care of it. And I don't have time to go into the story of how a man came into my office and just said, I want to do something for the work of God. God's blessed my business. I've given away more this year than I've ever made in any previous year, and I can only buy so many cars. I can only buy so many houses. I can only take so many trips. What can I do for the work of God?
Amen.
I pulled out a payoff. I had it ready. And he looked at that balance and he said, that's all you owe? And I'm thinking, yeah, That's all we owe. He said, let's pay that off. And I told our men, and we burned our mortgage. And I believe with all my heart that it was in response to a prayer of God, bless me indeed. God, don't just bless my family. Bless my family indeed. Don't just bless my marriage. Bless it indeed. Don't just bless the church a little bit, but bless it indeed. Where is that kind of desire? In our prayers, Jabez prayed for the blessing of God indeed. Like that word. Secondly, Jabez prayed for expansion. We're going to go back to our text. Verse number 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. He was saying, God, I'm ready to take on more opportunity. Don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm willing to take on more if you'll give me more. Would you enlarge my coast? As the weather warms up and we have opportunities to go out and knock on doors and engage people with the gospel, will we be like Jabez, a man of vision? Enlarge my coast. If we're not careful, we can lose our vision with right doctrine, come to church looking good, with a lost vision for what God can accomplish through us. Yeah. Never live your life with a small vision.
Yeah. Amen.
God, enlarge my coast.
Amen.
It should always be our desire, no matter where we are, to do more for the Lord. And I am challenged, particularly when I see someone, God's enlarged their coast. I don't mean in a prideful way. I don't mean in an envious way. But God, enlarge my coast too. I want to do something more for you.
Amen.
Not so we can look good.
Yeah. Come on.
Not so we can get the credit. That's naked pride.
That's right.
God can't bless that. But always ready and excited to take on a new project for God. Amen. Lord, you show me what I can do. Enlarge my coast. Are you a person of vision? Jabez saw through God an opportunity to accomplish more. And he says, enlarge my coast.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the land that you've given me. I appreciate that. But I believe with your help, I can do more.
Yeah.
I see old Micah over there. He isn't doing much with the acreage that you've given him. And I believe if you give me a little bit more, I could do more for you. We're not even halfway through this year. Have you lost your vision? God wants to accomplish something through everyone in this room.
Amen.
Something special. Your own ministry designed for you.
Yes.
And nobody else.
That's good.
And as you operate within that ministry, God, enlarge my coast.
Amen.
Do you lack vision today? Or do you have a small vision? Both are wrong. Stay in 1 Chronicles, but go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I believe this is a verse of vision in the spirit of what Jabez was praying. Psalm 119, verse number 32. Psalm 119, verse 32. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. God, give me a bigger heart.
Yeah.
Enlarge my heart. Give me a bigger capacity to serve you more.
Yeah.
And when you enlarge my heart and show me the way, I'm going to run in it.
Amen. Yeah, that's good.
Enlarge my heart. 1 Corinthians, verse Chapter 15, verse 58 says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I come from the city of Chicago, and if you were to go to Chicago, you'd look around and say, there is endless opportunity for ministry here. But when I hear everything that the Lord's been laying on your pastor's heart and the things that you've been doing in the public school and all of these wonderful ministries that God has started here, your opportunities are endless too.
Amen. That's right.
Man, God's blessed you with an open door.
Yes.
Make sure you walk through it. I think of the college ministry, all of these different ministries. Yeah. Oh, would you pray that God would enlarge your coast? There was an old country church that had a sign that said out front, where there is no vision, the people perish. But the congregation was dwindling and dying, and eventually everybody left, and the building was sitting there, rotting, empty. And the sign broke and was hanging on one hinge with the first letter missing. And so the sign read, here there is no vision, the people perish. May it never be said of Gospel Light Baptist Church, here there is no vision, the people perish. Jabez said, enlarge my coast. Give me your blessing indeed. I had to change my whole prayer list. And I did after studying the prayer of Jabez. And I hope you will too. Number three, Jabez prayed for God's help. He prayed for God's help. Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Please look with me at verse number 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me. That thy hand might be with me. God, I need your help. The hand of God, wherever you study it in the Bible, signifies the help of God. God's hand on you. Wherever you see God's hand, you see God's help. And Jabez knew he could do nothing without the help of God. Without the hand of God. I can do nothing in this meeting without the hand of God. You can do nothing in your marriage that will last for eternity and make that marriage a little bit of heaven on earth and what it ought to be before God. You cannot do that without the hand of God. You cannot raise children who honor God without his hand. He doesn't want us to get lifted up. We need his hand.
That's right.
He doesn't want us to get puffed up. We can do nothing.
Yeah.
It's easy to want to rely on experience, like Pastor said yesterday with a preacher. Easy to want to rely on earthly strength, yeah. A 401k, whatever it could be. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Do you believe that today? I do.
Amen.
I certainly believe that. I don't believe there's any good thing I can do without the hand of God. But I also believe that great things are accomplished when God's hand is involved. And Jabez believed that too. And that was part of his prayer life. You see, when God stretches out his hand, things happen. When God stretches out his hand, Red Seas part. When God stretches out his hand, Galilees are stilled. When God stretches out his hand, walls of Jericho fall flat.
Amen.
The hungry are fed. Big things happen in your life.
Amen.
When God stretches out his hand. And Jabez said, I've got to have the hand of God in my life. God, enlarge my coast. I want your blessing and I need your help. Fourth, Jabez prayed for a pure life.
Yeah.
Is there ever a time in the history of the world with everything that's out there, is there ever a time when God's people shouldn't be focused in like a laser on this type of prayer than now?
Amen.
Look at verse number 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Jabez concludes his prayer with a request for a pure life. That's what we need today.
Come on.
Believers with a pure life and a pure mind.
Yes.
Realizing and recognizing that there's no substitute for a pure life.
Right.
Jabez knew that.
Amen.
And you can only do it through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Somehow Jabez understood the devastating effects of sin.
Yeah.
Upon someone's life, because he said in verse number 10, that it may not grieve me.
Yeah.
Sin grieves us, you see, and it destroys our lives. And so we need to pray for a pure life.
Amen.
Is that on your prayer list? How often do you pray, God, keep sin from me,
Amen.
Keep me from sin,
Amen.
That it may not grieve me. Look all around you and you can see the effects of sin. Look in the churches today and see the lack of biblical modesty and you can see the effects of sin. Look at the Bible characters and you can see the effects of sin. Look at our own lives, if we're honest. We can say, I can see the effects of sin. How bad are you praying for purity? Man, that ought to be a prayer request that we earnestly and with great desire lift up before God every day. Keep me from sin and keep sin from me. Sin not only grieves us, but it grieves our families. Not only grieves us and our families, sin grieves God. It'll cause you to lose your joy. David found that out.
Yeah.
None of us are like David. David has a great position in God's future kingdom. Mm-hmm. The sweet psalmist of Israel. None of us are like David. But David lost his purity and it grieved him.
Yeah.
That's what it did with Adam.
Yeah.
Adam walked out on God. God came looking for him. The Bible says that the voice of God came walking in the garden. The voice was walking. God was looking for Adam. Adam, where are you at? He was hiding because he lost his joy. But 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Sin also destroys our effectiveness in this world. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We ought to pray daily, God, keep me from sin. Keep sin from me. I preach this message so that the prayer of Jabez would become your prayer. I was challenged by this passage of scripture, and I did. I pulled out my prayer list, and I made sure these things were there and that I, from the heart, I try to pray them every single day. Your prayers are not determined by how many you pray, but what kind you pray. There's a lot of elements to prayer that we can't cover in these meetings, but I was in Israel a few months ago, and the Jews at the Western Wall just praying. And I was always curious, why do they rock back and forth? Why do they do that? Is that some kind of cadence? What is that? And I asked our Jewish tour guide, who was also at the wall doing this, and he said, we do that to stay awake. We do that to stay awake. It's just monotonous prayer. We're just asking, we're just talking, and we don't want to fall asleep, so we do this to stay awake. Jabez didn't pray like that. No. And verse number 10 ends with these words, and God granted him that which he requested. To me, that's the most exciting part about the verse. Jabez, you look at the context. He was not of noble birth. He didn't possess any titles, but he was more honorable than them all and got his prayers answered. God heard him. He prayed and God answered him. He had a wonderful life, a Jabez life. Is the kind of life that I want to pursue. Now change your prayer list up. I'm not saying to pray his prayer verbatim, but I'm saying make sure these elements are in your daily prayer life. We need to pray like Jabez.
Amen.
Pastor.
Amen.